Come on, Dad. Yeah, that's good. I thought of Hannah and Ava, and they come home and get all of them things, so that's good.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. Thank you. Go ahead, Dan. My goal.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, girls.
Yes, amen.
That first song is one of my favorite songs in the whole wide world. How deep the Father's love for us. And then he starts singing one of my other favorite songs. Come, thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy... Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, everybody's been thinking about it, everything that's happened this week. And I just want to throw my two cents in, okay? In 1962, we took prayer out. Hey, listen, there's problems. We got problems. The world's got problems. We're always hunting a problem. Problem, problem here, problem there. We know we got problems, right? And everybody's looking for solutions to the problems. What we do about this, and what we do about this, and what we do about this, and what we do about this. And I'm just simple. I'm kind of almost as country as Eddie White. He said he was country as dirt. Somebody told my daughter one time when she went to college, I mean, they saw this pretty long-haired, tan girl in school. Man, they thought, man, this girl's something else. And she meets them. Howdy. Anyway, they told her one time, said, you're as country as a biscuit. She said, thank you. But anyway, we're always looking for the problem, the solution to the problem. And it reminds me of when I worked on a coal tipple. And I was just a laborer at the time. And y'all know what a shovel looks like, a number four coal shovel?
Yeah.
You boys need to learn what they look like. Yeah. And... coal would build up at the tail pieces, and they'd shovel that out. And I was constantly shoveling that bug dust or that coal out of them tail pieces so that the belt wouldn't, you know, ride in and all that kind of thing. And I thought, you know, there's a problem here. Why don't we, instead of just fighting the problem all the time that reoccurs all the time, why don't we find the solution to the problem? So I found out them belts have got rubber skirts on them. They'll keep the coal on the belt.
Yeah.
So I started changing them skirts. And I didn't have to shovel so much because I'm kind of lazy, you know.
Right.
Well, it's the same thing with all these problems. Why don't we find what's causing these problems?
Right.
And I got to thinking, in 1962, they took prayer out of school.
Right.
In 1980, they made it unlawful to hang the Ten Commandments on the walls in the schoolhouse. God forbid some kid would read, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, and do it.
Right.
God forbid they'd see that and obey it.
Right.
And forever, for my lifetime, they've been teaching young children that we're descending from animals.
Right.
So when you teach them, when you take God away and prayer away, and you teach kids that they are descended from animals, what makes us think that 60 years later, they're not going to act like animals?
Right. Amen.
The problem is not with all these things. The problem is with our hearts.
Right.
And I know somebody said, if I had a heart like that boy that shot that young man, I'd take my gun to work in the morning and shoot half the people I work with.
Right.
Because they don't agree with me.
Right.
And I'm glad they don't, I'm glad they're not as far away, far gone as that young man, because they'd kill me too. But anyway, that's my two cents. We got to get back to God.
Yes, amen.
I see somebody carrying a gun, that gun don't worry me a bit.
Right.
I'm not worried about what's in her hand, I'm worried about what's in her heart.
Right.
What's in her heart.
Amen.
It's a heart problem, it's a spiritual problem.
Right.
The government can't solve it.
Right. This is true.
By the way, 2 Chronicles 7:14 is the solution to all of it. But anyhow, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face.
Yeah.
He's talking to his people now.
Yeah.
And turn from their wicked ways. That's not my message. That's just my 2 cents. Don't take it or leave it. But anyhow, I just think we need to get back to God. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. I heard singing, what a day that will be. Hallelujah. It'll be a wonderful day when we get to heaven, won't it? And I thought that song just... You pray that I can keep my mind straight here, because did you ever, you preachers, did you ever start rehearsing scripture and just hallelujah, just it, man, it just struck you, praising God and stuff, and then you say, I'm gonna find out what that means. I'm gonna preach a sermon on that, because man, it's a hallelujah shouting the house down, good time. But by the time I got done and figured out what it said, I was on my knees repenting, asking God to help my poor wicked soul. Has that ever happened to you? The more I see Him, the more I know how bad I am, how good He is. But anyway, Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 and 8. Well, let's back up to verse 6. That's just for Nancy. She's not here tonight. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That'd be good to preach on right there. So you know the Lord's in control. God's in control. The Lord God, who is omnipotent, means all powerful, reigneth. That means He's in control. Okay. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the linen is the righteousness of saints. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we sure do love You. Thank You for a good word. Thank You for a good church. Thank You for a good pastor. Thank You, Lord, for great saints of God that I get to come and fellowship with every single week. Every single week. God, we pray that You would help us this evening as we look into Your Word for just a few minutes. God, I pray that You would take my mixed up thoughts and line them out, and the Holy Spirit would use them to help each person here. Thank You again for all we've heard tonight. Thank You for the congregational singing. Thank You for those young ladies who are singing Your praises. God, we pray for their families, for their parents. Lord, that they just keep on keeping on for You. And Lord, we'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. We ask it all. And amen. Amen. Hey, I read this. I said, hallelujah, the marriage of the Lamb has come. Hey, we're going to a wedding one of these days. You know that? We're going to a wedding. And I got to studying about these Jewish weddings and how they did all these things back in time past, and it's nothing like we do them today. And we're not going to get too deep on this thing, but I want to give you just a few things. First, there was an engagement. Okay? And usually that was when the boy and the girl were young and the parents arranged the engagement. And you say, do you think they still ought to do that? Well, I don't know. I'm not going to get into that. But there was an engagement. And this engagement was binding.
Right.
All right? And this engagement could only be broken through a form of a divorce in those days. And that's what was talking about back when Mary was espoused to Joseph. And she was with child with Jesus. And Joseph said, talked about putting her away privately. That's what he was talking about, divorcing her, because they were engaged. They weren't married yet, but they were engaged. And they weren't married, and she was with child, and he was being a just man and not one. He was a nice guy, and he didn't want to make a public example of her. And he was praying, asking God what to do. And God said, no, don't do that. You just stay engaged to her, and it'll be all right. But that's what we're talking about. Now, any unfaithfulness during this engagement was considered adultery.
Right.
All right, they're not married yet.
Right.
They're just engaged.
Right.
They're going to get married one of these days. But even when they were just engaged, any unfaithfulness was considered adultery. Then comes the wedding day. The groom on the wedding day, of course, the groom's been however long the engagement lasts, the groom has been preparing a place for the bride
right.
to come to. And no doubt he's putting all the things that he knows she likes and all that kind of thing, and we could preach all night on that alone. But come wedding time for the wedding, the groom would go to the bride's house and claim her for himself. hallelujah. Third, the groom would take the bride to his house, or to his home, for the wedding supper. And this could take as long as a week. I got to thinking about all this stuff, and you know, you can see the parallels, can't you? You can see where a good preacher could take this and run around a church house and be like Eddie White and climb up on the pews and kick his heels up. And I'm not going to try that; I'd hurt myself. But hallelujah! Anyway, you can see how that. Hey, listen. If you're saved, how many in here are saved? Say amen.
Amen.
Hey, we're engaged.
Yes, sir.
We're engaged. We're engaged. Of course, the groom, of course, is Christ.
Right.
The bride is the church.
Yes.
And we're engaged to Him. And any unfaithfulness during that engagement is considered adultery.
Yes. Right.
All right?
Yes, sir.
Are we being faithful to Him?
Think about that.
Or are we an adulterous, adulterous generation? Then, of course, the groom, Jesus, is coming. Hey, He's coming one of these days. He's coming one of these days.
Amen.
Jesus is coming. Hey, He's coming back one of these days. We know not the day nor the hour He could come. Even so, Lord, come quickly.
Amen.
And He's coming to get His bride and claim her for Himself and take us up to His house for a wedding supper. And those old Jewish weddings, they say the supper could last for a week. I have no scripture for this, but I happen to believe that the rapture comes before the tribulation starts, and tribulation lasts for 7 years. And then we're coming back with Him after the tribulation, okay? I happen to think this marriage supper is going to last for 7 years, a week of years, okay? Hey, it's going to be a supper like you ain't never been to. And I was reading this stuff. I said, hallelujah, glory to God. Hey, listen, things are good. Hey, we love our groom, don't we? We love our Savior, don't we? Hey, the church is engaged to Jesus. We love Him even though we've never seen Him. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8 tells us that. If you look at it there just a second real quick. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says this. It says, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now you see Him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Amen.
Amen. But then, we come to the rapture. And that's when the groom comes to catch his bride away.
Yes,
to take him to the marriage supper of the Lamb. All right? Well, I was reading these verses. Let me see if I can get you to understand what troubled me so much. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7. The Bible said, let us be glad and rejoice. Hallelujah. We can rejoice and give honor to Him. Give honor to Jesus. All honor is His. He deserves it all.
Right.
For the marriage of the Lamb has come. And this is a phrase that I couldn't figure out for a while. I had to do some reading and studying. And it's funny that the sister mentioned M.R. DeHaan this morning, because he helped me out a little bit on this. But it says, and his wife, of course, the wife is the church, right? Hath made herself ready.
Yeah.
The wife has made herself ready. And that kind of, I thought, well, that don't sound right. So anytime you read something, you think, well, that don't agree with Scripture. You gotta figure something out here. Because I thought, is salvation not entirely grace and not of works?
Right.
Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9.
Right.
So, what's this mean? We get ourselves ready. And I got to reading and studying about this. And we read the next verse. It says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white.
Yeah.
Now look at this. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints.
Yes.
Not the righteousness of Christ.
Yeah.
Now look, is that not what it says?
No, it says.
It says the wife made herself ready. And she's going to be wearing fine linen, which is the righteousness of the saints.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now don't turn me off. I entitled this message, What Are We Going to Wear to the Wedding?
Yeah, that's good.
What are we going to wear to the wedding?
Yeah, that's good.
Hey, we're going to a wedding one of these days. And the Bible says plainly right there that we are going to make ourselves ready.
Yeah.
We're going to, the linen that we're going to wear is this righteousness here. And you know the Bible says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before the Lord. But our righteousness here is our righteous works.
Right.
That we do. Now, works has nothing to do with salvation. Don't misunderstand me. Salvation is by grace, through faith.
Yes.
That not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Yes.
And I'm not going to take a verse that I don't quite understand and do away with one that I do understand. Okay? But we're going to try to see if we can get you to understand what this means. And this is where conviction fell down right slap in my lap. Because this garment that we're going to wear at this wedding is one, I don't know if you realize this, but in back in days past, the bride, when she got engaged, had started what they called a hope chest. And what that really was, is the bride would make her own dress.
Right.
And she would start collecting things, pieces of garments, pieces of apparel, and put in this hope chest for her wedding day. And on her wedding day, she would put these garments on and go to the wedding and marry the groom. So we see, when the Lord comes and takes us out, that's the rapture, okay? But we don't go straight to the wedding. The next thing after the rapture is the judgment.
That's right.
The judgment seat of Christ.
Right.
And by the way, we all go to the judgment seat of Christ. You can look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's just go there and look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I wanted to preach something you could shout about, but here it goes. Listen, I was pastor for a long time. Sunday mornings we preach salvation. Sunday nights you preach to the church. I just ain't got out of that mode yet. But anyway, I couldn't find anything. The Lord wouldn't give me anything else. This is it. Okay? There you go.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. Verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ, Jesus Christ. In other words, we build on Him.
Right. Amen.
All right. Now, if any man build on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it. This is the judgment day he's talking about here. When the groom comes and gets his bride and takes us to heaven, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And our works will be judged. It says, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is.
Right.
I love that. It's not by what size it is, it's what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire.
Right.
Now listen to me. When we all arrive at the judgment seat, we're not all that beautiful. We're not all that beautiful. Now, I know the Bible says we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, and we'll be changed, okay? But we'll change this body, this fleshly body, to a spiritual body. But listen, when we get there, before we stand before the judgment seat, we're not all too pretty.
Right.
You say, you got scripture for that? Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's just start in verse 22. Preachers, y'all hate us, don't you? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Well, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ... That's a good line. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Verse 26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself.
Right.
The Bible is a wonderful book. But if you just read over things, you just read it because that's our reading for the day, and you don't just see what it says. That He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, when we go up in the rapture and we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I'm afraid a lot of us have spots and blemishes and wrinkles.
Sure.
That's the purpose of the judgment seat before the marriage supper.
Right.
So we can get cleaned up for the marriage.
Yeah.
For the wedding. You got to take the bride and... nowadays they take the bride and man, they do her all up, fix her hair, get her a dress, and I mean, get her bathed and get her smelling good. I mean, all that kind of stuff. Man, I tell you what. And listen, Jesus is no different. Do you know a lot of our customs and things that godless people ignore come from the Bible?
Yeah, amen.
They don't even realize it. But anyway, I read this and it says, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, I'm afraid we're a lot spotted and wrinkled and dirty. It's kind of like when I go in from work at home. Lois wants me to take off my dirty clothes and throw them in a hamper and go get a bath and get some clean clothes on. Don't come in my living room, sit down on this clean furniture, or go to bed filthy. What? Yeah. Listen, hey, you think for a minute that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to take us a bunch of, I mean, He saved us, but we're not cleaned up yet?
Think about that.
And take us into the throne room of God and present us to God. I think I read somewhere where He presents us blameless.
Yeah.
He presents us, like it says here, a holy and without blemish.
Yeah.
So before the judgment seat, there's a lot of blemishes because as we read in Corinthians, some of our works are going to burn up. There's some of the stuff we carry all the way to the judgment seat, and we stand before God, and we're going to see our good works, the gold, silver, precious stones, and we're going to see our bad works, wood, hay, and stubble, and instead we're tried yet so as by fire, and that is going to burn up, and that just is purified by fire. It's made better, shinier. So, when we arrive at the judgment seat, church, I hate to tell you this, but we're not all cleaned up yet.
Right.
Because we're all going to stand there and He's going to tell us what's good and what's bad.
Yes,
the judgment seat's not going to be a happy time for every Christian.
That's right.
Some of us, and I say us, will suffer loss and shame. Romans chapter 14 and verse 10. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 10. The Bible says there, "But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Then we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." I got news for you, Christian. We're saved. If you're saved, if you trust in Christ, we're saved, you're secure, we're going to heaven, just as sure as I'm standing here tonight. But I want to tell you what, we're not going to get by unscathed because we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and we're going to be judged for what we did in these bodies on this earth. And let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5 for just a minute. And let me explain something. And this is where... I'm no Greek scholar or Hebrew scholar or anything like that. But every now and then, some good godly men help me out. And this is one place I'll give Mr. DeHaan some credit. He helped me out right here. You say, "Well, how do you know he's right?" Well, I don't know. It made good sense to me, and it wasn't against the Bible, so here it is. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, the Bible says, and we read this before, "that He," that's the Lord, "might sanctify and cleanse it," that's the church, "with the washing of water by the Word." Now listen, the Bible... There's two words there, sanctify and cleanse. Now, in this life, we can live a sanctified life by obeying the Word of God. The Word of God, if we obey it, will clean us up. You with me? It'll clean us up. This water, if we wash in it daily, will clean us up. So that when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, maybe there won't be such a big pile over here burning, and there'll be a bigger pile over here of good works. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but the wedding garment that you wear and that I wear at the marriage, we will make it. it will be made of the good works that you did while we were on this earth. Let me give you this, and I kind of chuckled at this. It says that he might sanctify. That is letting the Word of God clean us up during our lifetime. But that cleanse, Mr. DeHaan said that Greek word that we get, the English word cleanse, is the word that we get our English word cathartic from. Anybody know what a cathartic is? It's a pill or a medicine that the doctor would give you if your bowels need cleaned out. It's something that will clean you up.
Right.
So listen, we can either clean up here by sanctifying ourselves with the Word of God,
right,
or we'll get cleaned up. He'll give us a cathartic at the judgment seat.
Amen.
And He'll clean us up.
Yes.
By fire.
That's good.
It'd be a lot easier. It'd be a lot more. It'd be a lot more joyful if we would just sanctify ourselves, live a sanctified, godly life here, than it would be to go up there, stand before the judgment seat, and get cleaned up by fire.
Right. Right. That's good.
Yeah. It was customary for the bride to make her own garment. Hey, we're making our own garment.
Yeah.
Revelation said, and she hath made herself ready.
Amen.
You go back there and read and see if it don't make sense. A little more sense to you now. Hey, Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. The Bible says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife, that's the church, hath made herself ready. You can either make yourself ready here and now. I've said this before, if it weren't for the power of God on rapture, on the day of the rapture, some Christians wouldn't get off the earth because they're more attached to this world than they are to Him.
Right.
Well, I don't know what kind of garments you'll wear when you get to the wedding, but it's going to be one of your own making.
Yeah. Amen.
You say, well, that's not fair. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So which do we want? Which do we want? Do we want to be clean, or when we get there, or do we want to go in the door of heaven, filthy, dirty, and the only thing we have to claim is we trusted Christ somewhere along the way, and then lived our life the way we wanted to live, and we go to heaven, and He has to clean us up with fire instead of us washing ourselves in the Word. I thought, man, I was going to preach about we're going to a wedding. Hallelujah, glory to God. We're going to eat for a week, for 7 years. And listen, it'll be okay after it's all done, after it's all said and done. We're going to a wedding. It'll be a hallelujah time. But I want to tell you something. People think, oh, I'm going to heaven, that's good enough. But listen, we're going to be judged according to our works, whether they be good or bad. And the garments you wear to the wedding are of your own making.
Good.
And I'd like to wear some beautiful clothes myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, He's going to present us spotless. He's going to present us blameless. How in the world can He do that? As filthy as we are. As filthy as I am. Hey, I started out hallelujah, glory to God, and I ended up on my knees beside of my desk,
yes,
saying,
sir,
God, forgive me.
Yes,
God, forgive me. Because I'm afraid my burning pile is going to be a lot bigger than I'd like.
Yes. Yes,
but I got news for you, and I'm done. The birds are still singing.
Yes. Yes.
Listen, I really wanted to shout the house down. But God said, no. So what you need is a bath.
Amen.
But I couldn't figure out. Because I know I'm saved by grace. So how am I going to make myself ready? There's no way I can make myself ready. And then the fine linen. I thought, what's this fine linen? It's the righteousness of the saints. That's my righteousness, my right works, my right deeds. That's what that righteousness there is. That's not God's righteousness, okay? That's my right deeds. That's what I'm going to be wearing.
Yes.
When I get there.
Yes.
Think about it.
Yes, sir.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for salvation, full and free. Thank you for a God that loves me and cares for me enough to give me a good word of God. And I can never get away from a message you gave me years ago in the book of Deuteronomy where it says that your word was for my good always.
Yes. Yes.
For my good always. Oh, Lord, if we could just convince Christians and lost people alike that God's word is not for anybody, but for ourselves. It's for our good to obey God. It's for our good to wash ourselves in the word of God every day. It's for our good to do these things. And God, I hope I'm not too filthy when I stand before you. God, help me. Lord, cleanse me. Cleanse me with your word now so you won't have to purge me too much with the fire later. God, we thank you and praise you and love you. I'm still looking forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm still looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward to seeing you, Jesus, face to face. Even so, Lord, come quickly. Take this message, broken as it is, and use it, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.